Praise the Lord. Got to have those sword drills. Keep ourselves sharp in the Word. Finding books, chapters, and verses. All right, let's open up, beloved, to 145.
Song time?
Song time. Yeah. Thought we were still in the sword drill. Hey, he's holding up his hymnal.
141.
Swords up. Hymnals up. Let's stand. 145. And it's going to be all three of 145. Think about it. One day we'll stand on those stormy banks. 145. Good sword drill. I love that one where you two were perfectly tied. You both started quoting it at the same time. Praise the Lord.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. Forbidden's fair and heavy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Wide extended plain shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away.
Amen!
I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that heavenly goods of me forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest?
Never mind it now!
I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Good singing tonight. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And open up to the book of Revelation once again. Revelation chapter number 6 as we continue on in our study on the tribulation period itself. What a blessing to study the prophecies and understand, as God's believing people in the world, from His Word, by His Holy Spirit, what is going to take place. Amen? He gives us understanding. I'm so glad for the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost. He is our personal instructor and teacher as a child of God. What a privilege that is. Beloved, tonight is Tribulation Period Part 4. We're going to cover the rest of the seal judgments, Lord willing. We've seen in week 1 the scriptural introduction to the tribulation period. And in week 2 we saw what will begin the tribulation period, that is the signing of the 7-year peace treaty between Israel and the Antichrist. In week 3 we saw the opening of the first seal and the white horse rider. He is Antichrist. He's coming in peaceably on a white horse with a bow, but no weapons, no arrows, because he takes the kingdom by flatteries and comes in peaceably. Tonight, we come to week 4 and the opening of the second seal. Look with me in Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation chapter number 6. In verse number 3, we read, "And when he had the Lamb of God," amen? The only one worthy to open these seals, the Lamb. "When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Now, Notice here in verse 4, at the opening of the second seal judgment, the second horseman is red, that's blood red, and the peace that the Antichrist brought in with his peace treaty in the first seal is now broken, and world war breaks out. So here, the false security that the Antichrist ushered in is suddenly removed from the earth. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, I saw and behold a white horse, white representing the white flag of peace. And he that sat on him had a bow. A crown was given to him. He went forth conquering. Now, notice in verse 2 that the Antichrist took the leadership of the one world government. He did it peacefully and he brought world peace. Miss America always saying, what do you want? World peace, world peace. Well, finally, world peace is going to come. But it's not world peace, it's a false peace. And it will be broken quickly in the first half of the tribulation period by worldwide war. Now, notice here that in verse number 2, as Antichrist takes over the entire world, the Bible says in verse 2, look at it, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Notice that he's conquering nation after nation that will not bow to his authority. See, certain nations are not going to just give in and throw up the white flag. Certain nations are going to resist him. I'll give you one. Israel. You think Benjamin Netanyahu's going to bow to this sucker? No way, man. He'll tell him to take a hike. And he'll launch his nukes on him if he has to. But there's going to be bloodshed. Because as he goes forth to take over the world, he's going to kill anybody who won't submit. This war is the first of actually three wars that will occur during the 7 years. There will be a second war at the middle point of the tribulation period. Then there will be a third world war at the end called Armageddon. Now, that's the first thing, the second seal. And it brings war, much bloodshed. Secondly tonight, now notice the third seal. The third horseman in verse 5 brings worldwide famine. Look at it, verse 5, and when he, the Lamb, had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil, nor the wine. Now, beloved, here we find in the third seal judgment, worldwide famine. There's a reason for it. The reason is simple. If you want food, if you want to eat and survive, you've got to go to the Antichrist. And in order for you to get that food, you've got to take his mark, the mark of the beast. See, he's bringing famine worldwide. Famine, by the way, is usually the consequence of war. You've got war, bloodshed, then famine. Thirdly, tonight, notice in the fourth seal, the fourth horseman of verse 7. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto him, unto them, over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, this fourth horseman, beloved, is the deadliest of all. For in this fourth seal judgment, 2 billion people will lose their lives. That's 1/4 of the then current earth's population. 2 billion. And in this seal judgment, 1/4 of the earth's population will be destroyed. Completely. There will be 4 methods of destruction upon these 2 billion people. Look at verse number 8. I looked and behold a pale horse, and him that sat on him was, the name of him was Death, and hell followed with him. And I'm so glad that we have life, eternal life, and not death. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, the sword here is, of course, what ISIS is doing. They're beheading people with a sword. Okay? This is going to continue, folks. It's not going to get any better. They're going to keep doing this into the tribulation period. That's why you need to be saved to avoid this. Second, he says hunger. Hunger, that's famine. They'll die of starvation, people, during the tribulation period. Pestilence, thirdly, death. That is pestilence, death by disease, okay? And there's going to be diseases, new diseases that we've never even heard of. Beasts, notice that in verse 8, beasts of the earth. You know, I preached a message a few weeks ago on the soul eater. And I preached about those lions of Salvo. 187 men were eaten by two male lions who, once they got the taste of blood, the human blood, they kept killing people and eating them. And my message was on the devil, the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? Well, here, the beasts of the earth are going to be physically devouring people. Okay, you'll have bears, grizzlies, lions, tigers, all kinds of animals eating people. What are those things called? Komodo dragons. Those are nasty things. I wouldn't want to be here for that. Humans will be on the menu for animals during the first 42 months. Now we come to the fifth seal. The fifth seal reveals the myriads of martyrs slain in the first half of the tribulation. Look at verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And verse 11, white robes were given unto every one of them, not a glorified body, a white robe. Okay, it's a robe of righteousness. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren, fellow believers on earth, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now notice here in verse 11 that God is going to allow people who turn to Jesus Christ during the tribulation period to be killed, to be martyred. God is going to allow that. Why? It's not the age of grace, folks. It's another dispensation. It's a transitional one into the millennium. And it's a time of judgment, not of grace. We're in the time of grace now. Glory to God for that. But the tribulation period is going to be awful. Two questions arise from this fifth seal judgment. First, who are these saints that have been martyred? Second, who are the ones that killed them? Now, remember, the church is gone, raptured, prior to the start of Daniel's 70th week. So these believers are not church-age saints at all. They came to Jesus Christ after the rapture took place. Okay? Whether it be before or after the start of the tribulation, they came to Jesus after the age of grace was done at the rapture. Now, they're killed, martyred, during the first 42 months of the tribulation. Chapter 7 will reveal how they heard the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to look at that in a little bit here. As for those that killed them, go to Revelation chapter 17. I wonder who killed them. You know that religion is a dangerous thing? I'm glad I don't have religion. I repented of my religion October 3rd, 1986, which was Catholicism. I repented of that and I got saved. I came to Jesus Christ. I have salvation, not religion. Religion kills people. I'm going to prove it to you here. Look at chapter 17 of Revelation. Who killed them? Look at verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, I will show thee unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now he's talking, we know, about the one world religion, beast worship under Antichrist, right? "With whom the kings of the earth," political leaders, every nation will swear allegiance to this religion, "have committed fornication," spiritual, "and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." They're intoxicated with her doctrine. Verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast." She's a false bride. It's not the bride of Christ. full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Yeah, they worship the beast. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Sound like any religion today? Oh, yeah. And full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Spiritual. And upon her forehead was a name written. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It's one world religion. And verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the what?
Blood of the saints.
Blood of the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. He's saying, how can these things be, Lord? It says the tribulation saints that she has executed. Why? Because if you don't bow down to their beast worship, does that sound familiar? Daniel chapter 4. If you don't bow down at the sound of this tabret and the music and the trumpet and the rock music and worship the beast, we behead you. And this is what's happening, folks, during the first 42 months. So, who killed them? The one world religion. The beast worshippers. The followers of Antichrist killed Christians during the tribulation period. God will allow it. Listen carefully. Ecclesiastical, there's two Babylons. Anybody read Hyslop's Two Babylons? I know my sister has. Glory to God. Hyslop's Two Babylons. You've got to read that book. Because there are two Babylons, not one. There's Babylon, the one world government that Antichrist will control all armies and all politics of the entire world, all markets. Secondly, there's ecclesiastical Babylon. Political Babylon, ecclesiastical Babylon. This is talking about ecclesiastical Babylon, killing the servants of Jesus. Ecclesiastical Babylon, the beast worshippers of Antichrist, will slay any unbelievers they can find without the mark. Like ISIS, they'll say, if you don't convert and worship our God, Allah, we'll behead you. Folks, this is happening today. It's already taking effect. Okay? Now, fifthly tonight, notice the sixth seal judgment. The sixth seal judgment found in verse 12. Verse 12, in the 10 horns which thou sawest, remember we saw last week that the 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms, which the world will be divided up into 10 sections. North America will be with Canada and Mexico, New Zealand and Australia. You'll have the European Union. You'll have 10 geographical areas, and each section will have its own king. And each of those 10 kings will worship the beast and serve him. He'll control them all. Verse 12, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. Notice, they're kings without kingdoms. Why? Why are they kings without kingdoms? They're ruling over geographical areas, but they're not in charge of their own kingdoms. Antichrist is. You see that? They take their orders from Babylon during the tribulation, the headquarters of the world ruler, Antichrist. They receive power as kings 1 hour with who? The beast. He gives them their power. These have one mind. Notice this. Mind control. And shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They'll bow down and kiss his feet. Sound familiar? Verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them. I love the Bible. How the Holy Spirit just, you know, he just utters statements that just, you know, by the way, he made the stars also, you know. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, all of them. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Political Babylon will turn on ecclesiastical Babylon. This is great. Verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Time out. I love verse 17. Did you know that our God puts into the hearts of lost people to fulfill his will? That's right. That's right. They take their orders from heaven, though they don't know it. They do his beck and call. They don't even know it. God had put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's Babylon. That's in Iraq geographically. Okay? Modern day Baghdad. That's where it will be. That will be the worldwide headquarters. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. Now, each of these six seal judgment, each of the three series of judgments, you've got the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the vial judgments, also called the bowl judgments. They all end with catastrophic convulsions of nature. So here, with the sixth seal judgment concluding the first series of judgments, because remember, in the seventh seal contains the seven trumpet judgments. It's not another seal judgment. The seventh seal judgment contains the seven trumpet judgments. And the seventh trumpet judgment is not another judgment, but it contains the seven vial judgments. Okay, you'll see that. Now, this in concluding, look with me here at verse number 12. Catastrophic convulsions of nature take place every time a series of three judgments ends. Verse 12. And look with me in chapter number 6. Chapter number 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Notice here that we're experiencing, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. That's chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Notice here that at the sound of the sixth seal judgment, we have unbelievable physical catastrophes taking place in the earth, okay? Now look here in verse number 12. The first thing we see is a mega quake. Look at verse 12. I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, I'm guessing this would be upwards of a 10 on the Richter scale. Because it says it's an earthquake like it's never been before in the world. Because it's going to kill millions of people, this earthquake. It's going to be huge. Second, there'll be a worldwide blackout occurring. Look at verse 12 again. And there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, here we have one of five, this is the second, by the way, the second of five universal blackouts, where the whole world goes black. We're not talking about a normal blackout, when your electricity goes off. You get a flashlight, you can see your hand with a candle. Not like that. This blackout, you can feel it. You can cut it with a knife. It's so black, you can't see the hand in front of your face. You can't, there is no electricity, okay? It's a worldwide universal blackout, second of five. Thirdly, there'll be a massive meteor shower coming down. Look at verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, what's happening here in verse 13 is a meteor shower. These things are coming down, but they're not burning up like they normally do before they hit the earth. They're destroying things as they strike on the earth. Last week, I read online on Google, there was a meteor came down the size of a house. The size of a triple-decker house. It went down so far into the earth, somewhere over in Europe. It didn't hurt anybody because it was in a desolate area. But it sunk. They found the site where it went down. There's a crater there. An oval crater going down. But they can't find the meteor because it's so far down in the earth. Okay? You know, you take picture a bunch of them coming down all over the world. That's what's going to happen. Fourthly, atmospheric catastrophes will take place. Look at verse 13. It says, and the heaven departed as a scroll, verse 14, and it was rolled together. Fifthly, there will be topographical modifications like you've never seen. Look at verse 14. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. See, God's divine judgments on planet Earth is changing the landscape, folks. He's leveling mountains. The topography of planet Earth is changing. Devastations occurring in verse 14. Now, at this point, total anarchy ensues on planet Earth as men begin to flee from the wrath of God instead of repenting and turning to Him. Look at verse 15. This boggles my mind. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to withstand? Now, folks, this really, you know, just boggles my mind, because these people are in the tribulation period, experiencing the wrath of God. Do they repent? No. They look for a covert, a hiding place. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 2. Hold your place in Revelation. We're coming back. Isaiah. Some people never learn, they say. Some people are their own worst enemies. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 2. Don't miss this. The context is the day of the Lord. The tribulation period. Time of Jacob's trouble. Look at it. Verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide. This is God talking. Hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up. And he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon, picturing people as trees, that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, they're coming down, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, even oceanic devastation will take place. Upon all pleasant pitchers, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. It's coming, folks. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go, look at it, 19. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of His majesty, when He arises to what?
Shake
terribly the earth. It's coming. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, saying, this can't help me. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord. And for the glory of His majesty, when He arises to shake terribly the earth. Not, watch the message. Cease ye from man, for whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? He's saying, repent, repent, and trust in the Lord, and forget about man. He's wicked and sinful. He'll lead you astray. But this is a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 2, of what we're reading in Isaiah chapter 6. You see that? It's clear. It couldn't be any clearer. Now, yes.
What we're seeing in Isaiah versus Revelation 6, not Isaiah 6.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry, I think you made a mistake. You misquoted it. You said in Isaiah 6 instead of in Revelation 6.
No, I said Isaiah 2,
yeah,
where we were just reading,
right,
is a prophecy of Revelation 6.
Right, but you said Isaiah 6, so I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, I have that reversed it.
Yeah,
sorry. All right. Now, remember, folks, there are three major purposes for the tribulation period. First, to punish the world for their rejection of the Son of God. That's the main reason for the tribulation period. God is punishing mankind for rejecting His Son. Okay? Second purpose, to bring about worldwide revival. We're going to read about it in a minute here. Third purpose, to bring Israel, God's elect nation, to repentance and reception of Messiah. In Revelation chapter 7, deals with the second purpose of the tribulation period. That is to bring about a worldwide, universal revival on planet Earth. One like the Earth has never seen in history. Now, Two things are revealed in chapter 7. Go with me to Revelation chapter 7. First, we'll see the means whereby this worldwide revival will take place. Second, we'll see the results of this worldwide revival. First, notice the means whereby it will occur. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And something big is about to happen here. That's why he's holding the winds back. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. All judgment ceases for a moment here. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses. Is that what it says?
No.
Of all the tribes of the children of Israel. As we said, we're literalists here at KJV Bible Baptist Church. We take God for what he says, unless he instructs us that it's parabolical or spiritualized. Okay? 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel, they're Jews, who receive Messiah. It's the remnant during the tribulation period. Of the tribe of Judah, of the tribe of Reuben, of the tribe of Gad, of the tribe of Asher, of the tribe of Naphtalim, of the tribe of Manasseh, of the tribe of Simeon, of the tribe of Levi, of the tribe of Issachar, of the tribe of Zebulun, of the tribe of Joseph, of the tribe of Benjamin, were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld. Now, this passage up to verse 8 describes the third of five events that will take place during the first half of the 70th week, the first 42 months. Keep in mind that the ministry of the 144,000 will continue throughout the first 3.5 years. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom all over the world for 42 months until the covenant is broken. Now note here that this passage is actually parenthetical. It's parenthetical because verse 2 and 3, look at verse 2. I want to show you this. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, verse 2 and 3 reveals that they were already sealed and commissioned before the wrath of God began. With the third seal, with the second seal judgment. They were sealed, it's parenthetical, folks. It wasn't done at this point in the book of Revelation. It was done prior to this point. Okay, you understand that. Something else. Notice in verse 1 the extent of their preaching. It's worldwide. Verse 1, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Listen. It says that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. This ministry of the 144,000 will not be limited to Israel. It will be universal. Every nation on earth will have some of the 144,000 preaching the gospel to them. Something else. Verse 2 and 3 reveals a twofold purpose for sealing the 144,000. First, so that they cannot be harmed by the judgments of God being poured out, or by the evil persecutors beheading the converts that they win to the Lord. Hear what I said? They're sealed so that they cannot be harmed. See, the people that they're winning to Jesus Christ, most of them are going to be martyred. Okay? But they are not going to be martyred because they're sealed. And because of the seal of God, anyone that belongs to Antichrist sees one of them, they're going to run the other way. They say, that's a servant of the Most High God. Let's get out of here quick. They'll be shaking in their boots because they know, don't go near that person. Secondly, they're sealed because they are sealed for service as they are sent into all the world to share the good news of the coming kingdom. Okay, they're sealed for service. You were sealed. You were sealed for service with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose is for you to accomplish the will of God in your life. Service. Next, their identification is clearly discovered in verses 4 through 8. Full-blooded Jewish men. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Hold your place in Revelation again. in Matthew chapter 24, you know the context, day of the Lord. Clearly, Jesus is teaching his disciples that that day will come, the Antichrist will come, the tribulation period will come. Look at it. Matthew chapter number 24. And look with me at verse 3. And as he, Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, and saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, second coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Yeah, like Antichrist. And shall deceive many, that's for sure. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. That's the war we spoke of back there in chapter 6, verse 3. And there, remember the red horse? World war. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. We just read that. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And that, look at that. Folks, you got to grab hold of this. During the tribulation period, anybody who follows the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be hated. Hated because you bear his name. For his name's sake. Look at it. Verse 10. And many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. What's that mean, betray? That means people who don't trust Jesus Christ during the tribulation period will be betraying those who don't have the mark. You see it? They're going to, hey, I know that in that third story of that triple decker, there's a guy that doesn't have the mark. Go get him. And they will. They'll go get him and drag him out. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin will quench your love of the Lord, folks. But he that shall endure unto the end, the shame shall be saved. Ah, yeah, yeah, see that? You got to hold out faithful to the end to be saved, folks. See that? Salvation by works. Is that right? No. At this time period, it will be right. Tribulation period. It's not by grace through faith during the tribulation period, folks. You can't take the mark. That's a work. Right. You can't worship the beast. That's a work. It's a combination of faith plus grace plus works. Look at it. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That means this. If you can trust Jesus Christ during the tribulation period, you can lose your salvation. All these guys going around preaching this false gospel, they'll finally get it right. That when they find themselves in the tribulation period, they'll say, see, I told you I had to keep hold out faithful to the end. Yeah, you better, buddy. Timmy.
Well, with the Holy Spirit, with those people that don't take the mark, will the Holy Spirit be in them to
nope.
help them?
No, he'll be on but, them.
Okay, so just they'll be pretty much on their own then, right?
Yeah, they'll have the Spirit to lead them, but not the strength indwelling like we do. So, because it goes back to the Old Testament time. The Holy Spirit would come upon one, but never indwell them, because that takes new birth.
Well,
okay.
Will Satan's power be able to manipulate them? If they don't have the Holy Spirit?
Not if they're destined.
They still have free will, like refusing his mark. That's a decision they have to make, right. Calvinists, that they have to choose not to take that mark. That's the will. Right. And the Holy Spirit will lead them and nudge them not to, but he won't force them. And yes, they could be influenced by the devil, because the devil will be working like crazy. But they have to hold out faithful to the end, verse 13, look at it. Enduring unto the end, the same shall be saved. See, it's not like today. It's so easy today to be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of grace shall be preached.
Kingdom.
Nope, it's not the gospel of grace, folks. That gospel is being preached today, because we're in the age of grace. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Get out of Jerusalem quick. Get out of Dodge. Why? Because the Antichrist is going to take up residence in the temple at Jerusalem, sit on the mercy seat of God in the Holy of Holies, and declare himself to be Jesus Christ and demand worship. Okay? That's the abomination of desolation. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's a different gospel. Now, you have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior like we do. But you also have to hold out faithful to the end of the tribulation. In other words, what I was about to say, Timmy, was this. You can trust Jesus Christ during the tribulation period, refuse the mark of the beast, and one day say, you know, I'm going to die of starvation here. Give me the mark. That guy will go to hell like a bullet.
Right.
Even though he was trusting in Jesus for a period of time, he turned Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 18. Those who turn from their righteousness unto evil, that's what they'll be doing, they'll be damned. Okay? That will come in effect. All right. Now, something else here. Secondly, let's see the results of the 144,000 worldwide ministry. Back to our text in Revelation 7. What will be the results? Look at verse 9. Notice the first word. After this? After what?
After the tribulation.
Not after the tribulation, but after the first 42 months. After the preaching of the 144,000 from verse 1 through 8. See that? After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. I love it. The ministry of the 144,000 is going to be a complete success. No, not everybody will get saved. But they're going to win millions upon millions of converts. Look at it. Of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Question. Verse 9, where are they? Are they still on earth? In verse 9? Where are they? The converts to the 144,000 are where? In verse 9?
Israel.
No, read it. They're in heaven, folks. They're in heaven in verse 9. They've been martyred. But the tribulation period's still going on. I'm going to show you that. Verse 10. They cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God. See, they've got salvation. They died faithful during the tribulation period. They didn't take the mark. And they worshiped Jesus Christ. Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne. And about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne of their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor, power and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? The question says, who are they and where did they come from? Verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest, it's an angel. And he said to him, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Notice, they've got to be washed in the blood. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Yeah, forever. They shall hunger no more. See, they had no food on earth during the tribulation period. They shall hunger no more, neither shall thirst any more. They had no water. Nobody would give them a cup of water because they didn't have the mark. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I love it. What a beautiful passage. Clearly here, beloved, John is describing the greatest revival results that this world has ever seen. A few things demand our attention here. First, that the ministry of the 144,000 Jews who receive Jesus Christ as Messiah and go preaching the gospel of the kingdom, they will reap a great harvest of souls. A great harvest, which no man can number. There's so many. Probably, I said millions. It's probably going to be a few billion. I hope. I'm praying it will be. Population of about 8 billion during that time. You got to hope at least, 2-3 billion of them will get saved. I don't know. This is total guesswork, but we hope. A whole bunch. Let's say it that way. A whole bunch. Now, something else I need you to see. I'm almost done. First, observe the multi-ethnicity of these results. Look at verse 9, chapter 7. Look at verse number 9. He says, after this, lo, I beheld a great multitude, which no man could number, of, what's the next word?
Kindreds.
All nations, and kindreds, and peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. The multi-ethnicity of the harvest will be diverse. There'll be people from Africa, people from China, people from Iraq, people from Iran. I mean, you name it. There'll be converts from all over the world. Secondly, notice where they are. Verse 9. Before the Lamb, before the throne, clothed with white robes. They're in heaven. Glory to God. Thirdly, tribulation period still going on. Notice what they are wearing. Verse 9. Not a glorified body. They can't get that until the completion of the first resurrection, which won't take place till after the 7 years is up. Now, they have white robes. That's a white robe of righteousness, even the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, observe what they are doing. Verse 10. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb." What are they doing? They're worshiping the King. Amen. I love it. Fourthly, fifthly, notice who joins them in this worship. Verse 11. And what's the next word?
All the angels.
All the angels. All the angels. And all the elders. And the four beasts fell down, worshiping God and the Lamb. I love it. We all join in. Sixthly, observe the identity of these saints. Verse 13. And one of the elders said, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" Clearly, verse 14, he tells them, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They worshiped the Lamb, and they were martyred. That's why they're in heaven. Yeah, they chopped their heads off, but they're in heaven. Those people who did it to them, they're going to hell like a bullet. And they'll end up in the lake of fire. Go to chapter 6 again, Revelation 6. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar in heaven the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. See, during the tribulation period, you've got to have a testimony. A testimony of Jesus Christ. 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" See, the earth dwellers are still killing Christians on earth in verse 10. The saints that were martyred are in heaven with the Lord. Verse 11. And white robes were given unto them. There it is again. White robes. Every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. God will allow it. Okay? Now, seventhly, these are the same persons in chapter 6 that we read of in chapter 7, verse 14. Same persons. Okay? Now, seventhly, notice their reward and their rest. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, that's verse 15 of chapter 7. And therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears. No bad memories, folks. Anything you're going through right now, don't worry. It'll never be brought up again in heaven, because there's no tears in heaven. Nothing but eternal joy. Amen? What a blessing that is. Now, from this incredible chapter, folks, we can clearly see that although the Holy Spirit will not indwell believers during the tribulation period, yet he will be actively engaged in drawing souls to Jesus Christ through the 144,000, even though it will most likely end in martyrdom. But in all this, the second purpose of the tribulation period will be fulfilled, that of bringing about a worldwide great revival on the earth. Next week, we'll begin our look at the seven trumpet judgments. The seven trumpet judgments. Father in heaven, how we thank you for tonight's message concerning the seal judgments that are to come horrifying as it is, Lord. It says there, down around verse 13, these things must come to pass. They must, because the Word of God says so. And Lord, we rejoice in the fact that you will fulfill every word of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're on the winning side because we're on the side of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've already won the victory for us over the world, over the flesh, over the devil, and over sin. Thank you, Lord, that you are a risen, coming, conquering King of Kings. And we rejoice in the fact that you will come soon and very soon for us. You will rapture us out before these horrific things take place on planet Earth. Lord, that tells me one thing. We need to be busy in these last days about our Father's business. We need to warn the lost to get saved before it's too late. And they wind up in the middle of that tribulation period. And they wind up under the wrath of God that will come. Lord, we thank you for your word. We treasure it and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We'll close with a hymn. And open up to 260. We'll stand. 260. Where just a quick announcement. After we complete our study of the tribulation period, the Lord's laid on my heart, and one of you had suggested it, Carol, a few months back, of us doing a study on the dispensations. And I think it's going to be a timely thing for us to do on Sunday nights. Won't be too many weeks, just, you know, maybe 352. Okay, then 260, and we're going to sing all three. Praise the Lord, all three. What a friend we have in Jesus Christ, folks. Friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that will never leave me nor forsake me. That we may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do. Sing it to the Lord.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs.
How many things?
Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pains we bear.
Why?
With the Lord.
People, what a great day we've had. And Father, we thank you for a good day. We thank you that you're our great high priest we saw this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the coming tribulation period that we will not endure that wrath. We're not appointed under wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for being that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, one that will never, ever leave us or depart from us. We thank you for that. What a privilege to be called by thy name. Bless us as we're dismissed. Lord, use each and every one of us this week as your ambassadors for Christ. That we, like that 144,000, would go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us this week. Use us for your honor and glory. Keep us by your preserving grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Glory.